We're studying Joseph, which is a good example of how God operates in the lives of His children, even in adverse circumstances. But this morning we're looking at Jacob's prophecies concerning his sons. Now we're not going to look at all of the sons that are in Jacob's prophecies, because not all of what he prophesied for his sons is clear exactly what he is talking about. But one thing that I have found in his prophesying concerning his sons is that it does make a difference how you live. In Genesis chapter 29 and in verse 1, I'm going to read the first four verses to begin with. And it says, "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." That is pretty admirable commendation, wouldn't you say? Now let me go ahead and read verse 4 now. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Many of God's children have great potential, even as Reuben had a great potential. He was his firstborn and Jacob's strength. And he was of excellent dignity and excellent power. Authority was to be his. Reuben was to be the firstborn. The right of the firstborn was to be his. And the right of the firstborn meant that he got a double portion of his father's estate, and that he was blessed by his father, and that he was to be the spiritual leader of the family, and he was also to be the ruler of the family. He was to be in charge. But Reuben forfeited all of that because of his lifestyle, because of his behavior. And we need to appreciate that in our own life. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright." In other words, Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, obtained an inheritance in the land of Canaan, which gave him a double portion over his brothers. Joseph had a double portion. He had the double portion that Reuben was supposed to have had. Now, I want us to be reminded of how we're reflecting upon these Old Testament books and these Old Testament characters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 11, it says, "Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples." The them here is the Old Testament characters. All the things that happened to Jacob's sons, all the things that happened to Joseph's sons and to Joseph are written to teach us things, to help us in our life to live a godly life, and that we might be found pleasing to Him. They were written for ensamples, or types, or pictures for us. And they are written for our admonition. They are written to warn us about what can happen to us in our lifestyle. In other words, in our lives. "Upon whom the ends of the world or age are come." We're living in the last days. We're living in a days where lawlessness abounds. And did you know that that can affect you and I? It can affect us. It can cause us to become lawless. It can cause us to become cold and indifferent to the things of the Word of God. And so therefore, the Old Testament, the study of Old Testament helps us and encourages us in our walk with the Lord. In Ephesians 5 and verse 5 it says, "For this we know, or this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Many people think that if you have this type of lifestyle, you cannot be saved, or you haven't been saved. This is not talking about whether you're in the family or not. It's talking about whether or not you have an inheritance. When you see the word inheritance, you're talking about the family. You're talking about a will. You're not talking about somebody who is outside the family. And what this is saying is this: if you live as a whoremonger, as did Reuben, you're going to lose part of your inheritance. Not your salvation. Once in the family of God, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have royal DNA. And I don't care what you do to that DNA. I don't care how long you have been dead. You have royal DNA, and that can never be changed. Once you're in the family, you're always in the family of God. But it doesn't mean you will have all that you would desire as one of His children. You may lose your inheritance. And that can happen today. I mean, you can be disinherited, can't you? And you're usually disinherited because you did something you shouldn't have to your rich uncle or your rich aunt or whatever. Colossians 3:24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance." Inheritance is reward based upon service, because it says in the end of that verse, "For ye serve the Lord Christ." Inheritance is reward based upon performance or serving the Lord. We can either serve Him acceptably, or we can serve in the flesh, which is not pleasing to the Lord. If you serve the Lord because of peer pressure and guilt, you know who you're serving? Whoever it is that put the guilt trip on you. But if you serve the Lord willingly and as unto the Lord, then He gets the credit and you get the blessing for doing it. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive of the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." We all enjoy receiving for the good, but none enjoy receiving for the bad. But if you read and apply Old Testament principles and illustrations, you find out that if you were doing what the Lord would have you to do, you're going to receive blessing. If you do things that are not pleasing to the Lord, you're going to receive for that as well. And it's not going to be fun and games. When you see all that you have done, the wood, hay, and the stubble of your life consumed at the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? So I just want you to think about that, and that's what we're going to reflect on this morning. Now, Reuben was his firstborn. He was unstable as water. And Jacob said, "You're not going to excel. You're not going to get ahead because he defiled his father's bed." Now, one of the things that in studying inheritance is that you need a little background material to really understand what's going on here in the Old Testament. In Numbers 32 and verse 33, it says, "Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, unto half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, the land with the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about." Moses gave the inheritance of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh to them. That is significant. East of the Jordan River, is where Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh. That is east of the Jordan River. And that's significant. The inheritance from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea is west of the Jordan River, and it is known as the land flowing with milk and honey. The land to the east of the Jordan River was not the land flowing with milk and honey. It was part of the land that God gave to Abraham, because remember that God gave to Abraham the land from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. So Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, and not only that, but the children of Lot, Ammon and Moab, also Esau, they're all east of the Jordan River. You know what that means? They had a lesser inheritance than those who dwell in the land flowing with milk and honey. So you needed to see those distinctions. That's one of the reasons why half the tribe of Manasseh is east of the Jordan River and the other half is in the land, because Manasseh and Ephraim, the two of those tribes, make Joseph's double portion. But Ephraim, who was placed above Manasseh, all of that tribe is in the land flowing with milk and honey. So Ephraim got a what? A double portion over Manasseh. Now you have to kind of keep your arithmetic here in line. But it all fits. And it is all significant. It does make a difference whom God chooses to be first and whom God chooses to be last. Ephraim was last and God chose him to be first, didn't he? In other words, that's what Jacob did when he crossed his hand. We talked about that last Sunday. So Ephraim got a double portion where Manasseh only got a single portion. So that's the reason why half the tribe of Manasseh is in there and all the tribe of Ephraim is in there. Now, it's significant that Moses gave the inheritance to Gad and Reuben and Manasseh, their inheritance. You know what came by Moses? The law. People are confused about the law. And I'm really not following the notes here because I'm giving some background material that I think is essential. People think that the law was given to lost people to show them that they could not be saved by keeping the law. But let me tell you, the law was given to save people, to show saved people they can't please God by keeping only the law. Because let me say this, if you're not lawful, you are lawless. And there is a place for the law. Now, I'm not talking about the ceremonial law, but I'm saying when it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, do you have freedom to commit adultery under grace? No, you don't. So, the law is good, says Paul to Timothy, if you use it lawfully. And the law is given to the disobedient child of God to help him to be obedient. Because let me tell you this, if you're a disobedient child of God, you cannot live by faith. Have you ever heard a whoremonger testifying how he's living by faith? No. Because the Word of God says plainly that the just shall what? Live by faith. And if you are rebelling against God, you cannot live by faith. And what does it mean to live by faith? Does that mean getting saved? No. It means that you're pleasing God. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So the just live by faith. They are the ones who are pleasing God. And let me just share this with you. You remember in the life of Lot? Lot and his wife and his family lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Word of God says in 2 Peter that Lot was just. But his wife wasn't. and his two daughters weren't. It also, you cannot find any place in the scriptures where Lot was living by faith. He is not found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. You know who is found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that was living in the days of Lot? Abraham. Abraham was living by faith, and he was also just. It's a shame that Lot didn't have enough sense to go to his uncle Abraham to get some help. What did he do? He ran off to some city, and the residents of that city about killed him, because they knew that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah was because of Lot. And so he and his daughters ran off to a cave, and his daughters got him in trouble. And you know what? Lot's inheritance is outside the land flowing with milk and honey. Esau was sent away from Jacob, and his inheritance is outside the land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I tell you, I prefer the land flowing with milk and honey inheritance than under the law. Did you know that if you're a child of God, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, if you're a child of God, you're an heir. But what kind of inheritance will you have if you suffer for Christ? You'll be joint heirs with Christ. If you're a child of God, you're an heir of God. But if you suffer for Christ's sake, like Joseph did in type and in picture, you're going to have a better inheritance. Okay? So under Moses, there was an inheritance that was lesser than the inheritance that was under Eliezer and Joshua. Now, that's the background. Now, Galatians chapter 4, this will help you to understand a little bit. Well, first of all, let me just bring this out to you. In Numbers 32 and verse 1, it says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle." The emphasis on "they saw." You know what that is? That's sight. Reuben and Gad were living by sight. You know somebody else who's living by sight? Well, if you read Genesis 13:10, you'll find out Lot was living by sight. "And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere." Lot lived by sight. When you're living under the law, you're living by sight. When you were in the desert and somebody, some atheist came up to you and says, "Prove to me that there is a God." Well, I tell you, it would be easy to do. You just point over to the tabernacle, and there he was. He was a pillar of fire at night, and he was a cloud during the day. There wasn't any atheist in the desert when Moses was there. You can live by sight. And the manna was there in the morning, and the shoes didn't wear out. But you know what happened when they crossed over the Jordan River into the land flowing with milk and honey? The pillar of fire disappeared, the cloud disappeared, and the manna disappeared. You know what they had to do? They had to live trusting God to supply their needs. They began to live by faith in the land of Canaan. In fact, it says, if you read in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, that was done by faith. And the next reference to faith is not till you get to Jericho. Jericho was the next act of faith that the children of Israel did. All the time in the desert, there was no acts of faith, because you could live by sight and you've got the law. The law is sight. If you're living under the law, you're living by sight and not by faith. Two inheritances. In Galatians 4 and verse 30, it says, "Nevertheless, what saith the Scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman, which is a reference to the land flowing with milk and honey. Where was Esau's inheritance? It was east of the Jordan River. In fact, it was south, even worse than the land where Reuben and Gad were living. So we see God is teaching us that there is a good inheritance, and an inheritance is not so good. Now, Esau was a man of the world. He was a hunter. He is a picture of a worldly Christian. Jacob was a man who seethed pottage. Remember Esau coming in? He was faint. That meant that Esau wasn't a man of prayer, was he? Because if you pray, you won't faint. But anyway, that's a little early in application there. Esau didn't have Luke 18:1. But anyway, the point is, Esau was a man of the world. Jacob was a man who seethed pottage, which is nothing in the world but prophet's food. Jacob was a man of the word. Jacob was a shepherd. So the inheritance of Esau is to the east of the Jordan River. And I put in Deuteronomy 2:5 so you can see that God gave Esau the land that he lived in for an inheritance. Meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land, no, not so much as a foot's breadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. And you can translate that word possession as inheritance. This is God speaking to the children of Israel who were, you know, cutting across the desert. He says, I'm not going to give you 1 foot's breadth of Esau's land. I gave it to Esau, you leave it alone. He did the same thing for the children of Ammon and the Moabites. In Deuteronomy 2:9 it says, And the Lord said unto me, Distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee of their land for an inheritance. The word possession is inheritance in the Hebrew. Because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. And in 2:19 it's the same thing for Ammon. There were two daughters. They both had sons, and these are their descendants that God gave from Lot. Jacob's inheritance was in the land flowing with milk and honey. In Deuteronomy 27 and verse 3, he says, When thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee. I put this verse of scripture in here to show thee, or to show you, that you had to cross the Jordan River to get to the land flowing with milk and honey. You had to cross the Jordan River. You could not. You were not in the land flowing with milk and honey if you were east of the Jordan River. That is significant. I hope that I have established that in your thinking. Now, he made reference to Simeon and Levi. You remember those two sons? Simeon and Levi are the two sons that killed all the men of Shechem because one of them raped their sister. Remember the story? It's a gruesome story. There's some skullduggery there. And they slew them all. And there was anger and fierceness in their life. It says in Genesis 49 in verse 7, it says, Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. In Joshua 19:1 it says, And the second lot came forth to Simeon, even for the tribe of the children of Simeon, according to their families, and their inheritance was within the inheritance of the children of Judah. Simeon did not have an inheritance all of their own. They were scattered through the tribe of Judah. That's similar to a Gentile's inheritance. Did you know if you were a Gentile and you lived in a tribe, that God said that you would be able to have an inheritance in the land or in the tribe in which you dwelt? Just like Caleb. Caleb's name in Hebrew means dog. And Caleb was a Gentile. And when you read about Caleb's inheritance, his inheritance was among the tribe in which he dwelt. Now you'll find that in the 14th chapter of Joshua and other places along in there. But Simeon did not have a defined geographical location for his inheritance. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 9 it says, "Wherefore Levi hath no part or inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance according to as the Lord thy God promised him." Levi had no inheritance in the land. God did give them cities. He gave them the cities of refuge. And he did give them other cities, and they were scattered throughout the whole nation of Israel. And it's very interesting, if you look at the law of the year of Jubilee, it's that year of Jubilee, every 50 years, all the land and all the inheritance all went back to the family that had it to begin with, to make sure that everybody maintained an inheritance in the land. But if you lived in a city and you lost your house and you didn't get it back in a year, it was gone. You did not get it back in Jubilee. In a city, that's the way it worked. So if a Levi got broke and poor and sold his house and he couldn't get it back within a year, he lost it. It was gone. Okay. Well, I just pointed out the fact in Galatians chapter 5, and with this we'll close. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. And you can read them all. I just skipped and hit the ones that I wanted to touch on. Hatred. Variance, that is contention and debate. Wrath, that has to do with anger or an angry temper and fierce. Strife, that has to do with ambition and selfishness. Murder. That's what Levi and Simeon did. That was not justice. They just murdered everybody in the city. The only one that should have been executed possibly was the one who did the act. And he says, "And such like, of which I tell you before, and as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." You will not have the inheritance that you would like to have in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so therefore we need to appreciate the fact that it does make a difference what you do and how you live. In fact, one verse, and this will close, in 2 John verse 8, it says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward." Did you know that you can be faithful to the Lord and have treasures in heaven, and then in the latter part of your life, you can blow it and lose reward that you have gained by hard work, by suffering? We need to look to ourselves. It's personal responsibility. And there are people today that are teaching that if you're in the family of God, you get the whole pie in the sky. But let me tell you, beloved, that's not what the Word of God teaches. You don't lose your salvation. You just simply lose your inheritance. It affects what you'll have in the coming kingdom of our Lord. Joseph got the honor and the glory and the position, and his brothers got naught. They got fed, and that was all. So, may the Lord help us to walk faithfully with Him. And we'll pick up here, Lord willing, next Sunday and continue our thoughts on Jacob's prophecy. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the opportunity we have in this land to stand in a pulpit and to teach and to preach and to encourage one another and the things that pertain to You. We do pray, Lord, that You would help us to take our lives seriously in our efforts to please You. Help us, Lord, to be obedient and then trust You. Help us, Father, to live lawfully and then to live by faith. We're thankful, Lord, that You're going to share your inheritance with us. And we pray, Lord, that if we have to suffer as Joseph suffered, we know, Lord, that one day we will be joint heirs with you. If we deny thee and not have to suffer because of our association with thee, we're still one of your children, and we're still one of your heirs. But Lord, we know that we might be disinherited. So Lord, help us to apply your word this morning. Help us, Lord, not to be like Reuben or like Simeon or Levi. But help us, Lord, to be like Joseph. These things we ask and pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.